Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Trapp, and Nick till 4 o'clock. We continue to roll around all kinds of sports stories and other things. That's right, Trav. You know why? Because we're on the come every single day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4. And with one in the books and two to go and plenty more show, we have covered the gamut on a lot of things NBA, but it's all very topical. Another thing that happened last night, in case you missed it, like the TNT stuff in between games and around the games, was Russell Westbrook going absolutely crazy nuts again, and more people saying what I've been telling you guys for weeks. If he averages a triple-double, it is going to kill James Harden's campaign to win an MVP. Not saying it's right, but I'm saying because it hasn't been done since 61-62, he is going to win over a lot of votes because of that. And last night, look, let's face it, that was a one-man band. And boy, he was playing on course because he was going crazy. But the good thing if you're a James Harden and a Rockets fan is he didn't get the triple-double, and he was very, very deficient in the other two areas. That's going to cost his average. And that if his average is hurt by that, you like that because then he gets farther away from averaging the triple-double, which means more brownie points in the corner of one James Harden. With that being said, I've always said number 99 sits next to me. Before there was a JJ, there was a Trap J, and he made 99 famous in Houston. But then again, there's also another JJ, and he's a loyal listener to the show. He actually likes to start fights and tell everybody that if they don't agree that we're the best show in town, that he'll kick their ass. So JJ has a seat in the living room. JJ, what's up, man?
Hey, man. I feel so much better calling in today because Barry's not there. And, you know, I call him the Ginsu, and he's can be a pretty good smartass. And, you know, yesterday, as you know, Trap, I don't know if you heard the show, but I was defending Joel because Nick and Barry were stirring it up and really giving him a hard time on his take on the Rockets.
Okay.
All three guys have a great take, but, you know, Joel's got a lot of experience down there at the Big Sequoia, and I was agreeing with him 100%, so I had to defend him yesterday, and then Barry went on record and said, worst show ever because I defended Joel. So he's not here today, and that's why I called in, because I want to get Trap's opinion on something. And you guys know it's hard for me to call into the show and keep, you know, I got one hand on the phone, one on the wheel, so that straps my style. Right, Joel?
But no, you've got your heat firmly strapped to your leg. I just don't know how high, and I don't want to know.
Yeah. You can't be Johnny one hand with one on the phone and one on the wheel. But anyway, Trap, I got a question for you. That's why I called it.
Yes, sir.
You know, what experience do you have? I mean, I know in your day being an athlete, or you played basketball, so I don't know if you played in high school, college. What was your basketball experience?
I was 3-year varsity. Didn't play my junior year. I was second team all CIF. I was second team all CIF. Third team All-State, you know, I was a little bit of everything.
Yeah, because I played my day, but I was a guard. But I just got a question for you. And, Joel, we were talking about this yesterday, and it's the only thing I called in about today is, Trap, if you were playing on the Rockets, are you going to let somebody like Isaiah Thomas and these guys just go to the rim? And
Not
if you're a five, if you're a two. I mean,
Don't you
put somebody on their ass?
Oh, no question. I used to always say, man, I got five fouls, and I'm pretty good at using all of them. You know, I didn't like leaving games with any fouls left. So, you know, I don't believe in letting anybody get a free pass. Nothing, like my daddy used to say, nothing in life is free. And you're going to earn these little free throws. You earn that ass whooping for them free throws. So
that's also why if you need Travis Johnson during the week of the big game, he can be bought.
Dang right I can be.
Somebody. Huh? Get somebody that'll put people on their butt. and
but,
not
but
give
JJ,
up.
Don't you agree with me too? Here's the other problem I had with that scenario that you're painting for us and revisiting. My problem was when the Dallas game and Measuring did all that stuff with Trevor. He came with a cavalry, both on the floor and after the game when he was waiting outside the locker room. And that's when I was like, that's a sign this team's really together. The other night, when Beverly probably wrote a check that with his mouth that his body couldn't pay for and Isaiah Thomas abused him, Isaiah Thomas let him know about it up and down the floor, and no one was coming to Pat's defense. I mean, Marcus Smart was, as soon as he saw them going nose to nose, Marcus Smart was right there for Isaiah Thomas. No one was there for Patrick Beverly. That concerned me as much as anything because of the fact that that sends me a message that they may not be on the same page they were when they played Dallas back then.
I agree with you 100%. 100%.
I disagree with both of you on that Beverly thing.
Nick, that don't surprise me. Yeah, all right, listen, guys, I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, JJ.
Yeah, I mean, just
have a good
because
weekend,
Beverly
buddy.
Did that one time, we've seen the togetherness before outside the locker room. You saw Harden stand up for, was it Ariza or the last time? So just that one play should not be a huge concern, in my opinion. So.
Travis, do you see it?
No.
Okay, so essentially... Well,
how'd the play go down?
So essentially, you know how Pat likes to talk, and evidently Pat had been talking, and late in the game, Isaiah Thomas puts Pat on his hip, gets in the lane, scores on him, and basically the next time up and down the floor with less than 2 minutes to play, basically would not stop telling him about the fact that he owned him. He got him really good. And you know, at first Pat was going to try and talk, then he didn't, then Pat fouled out trying to stop him on the next offensive possession.
All right.
And then Isaiah had more to say. And I was expecting, you know, you see Marcus Smart run into the picture real quick and you think, well, you know, this could be, again,
could get ugly.
Yeah, and they've had a couple run-ins with the Wizards lately, just like this very situation. But yet instead of that, you never see another Rocket enter the picture, but there were Celtics all around, and then Pat finally walks back to the bench, and I'm thinking, man, where are your boys?
Where are your teammates?
Yeah.
I mean, that tells me, you know, you can't live soft and fight tough, man. End of the day, you can't.
But it's still one play, though.
It's not one, it's an embodiment. I remember it at, if me and you together twice a week. We're for other reasons that we together twice a week. And if me and you go out somewhere and somebody push you down, Nick, I'm going to be over there ready to whoop ass. That's, and for somebody who is your brother, your teammate, who you bleed together, you sweat together, you do everything together all year long, basically, except for those 4 months you have off. And for you not to come to his assistance, then I have a problem with that. Again, so I agree.
That's why I had the problem. And here's the other thing I had a problem with, Trav, if you didn't see the game. Because of the fact that when they were together and everybody was preaching their togetherness, you know, you could see it on the court. What you see now and what I saw the other night were signs of a team that's starting to splinter. Why? James Harden undresses Sam Decker on a play where a timeout is called all the way to the sideline, and Decker's screaming back at him. And essentially, they go at it. Late in the game, a 12-point game, less than a minute, game's over, Harden shooting free throws. And before he shoots the free throw with all the cameras on him, he bug-eyes and completely just laces a tirade. And I go, who's he talking to? They pull back. It's Ryan Anderson. And I'm going, what was that for? And what I also saw was a guy that started to quit on defense a little bit. Those things add up to where your teammates, especially because they're getting beat up because they gave up 127 points. And they're looking at it now going, okay, just like you're our offensive guy, we still need you on defense. Exactly. And when you're going to start making us feel bad and screaming at us on offense, we're going to start screaming at you on D pretty quick.
Exactly. Like, why don't you D up? You know what I mean? Move your feet.
Again, I think you're pointing out two negatives of two separate games, one play from each game.
But see, the thing is, when you're in the locker room, though, Nick, that stuff speaks volumes. That stuff,
volumes is when you're in a locker room and you stand up for Trevor Ariza and you walk to the visitor locker room and you stand up for your teammate like you're supposed
but
to.
No, that,
this
that's,
is a
that's,
stretch
that's,
of losing.
That's all for show. What I'm telling you, if I remember Coop.
That is not all for show.
But I'm telling you, when Coop used to always say, I better never watch one of my running backs have to pick themselves up off the ground. Mm-hmm. I should never have to watch our quarterback fight and pillage yourself off the ground while everybody else is like basically picking his pocket or doing all extracurricular activities. If you don't even know the simple rules of how it is to be a teammate, then I don't want. I don't. Hey, in the words, I don't want you. Don't want. Can't win with you.
Could it be a potential concern as the season goes if it continues? Yes, one play. I'm not ready to coin it as a concern.
I gave you more than one episode, though. He did the.
You gave me two episodes, and we don't know the dynamic of that Beverly play.
There were the two screaming things too. And what I'm trying to get at more than anything else is there's a time and a place for it. Have it happen behind closed doors in a locker room. Now you're together. Because you know what? You don't want to do it in the public eye. You don't want everybody to see it and feel it and have the cameras on you. You do it after you get in the locker room before the media is allowed in. You go, yo, seriously, man? On that last play, when I'm taking two defenders with me, you just got to keep moving, free yourself to a wing where you can get an open shot. But if you get caught flat-footed staring at me and looking, I'm in trouble. And then I turn the ball over. That's the kind of stuff I'm saying. It's got to happen the same way that everybody, and I agree with you, Harden had Trevor's back. That was a big thing.
Oh,
right?
Because he went to the locker room?
Yeah, because they followed him to the Mavs locker room.
Hey, anybody can do. They know good and well. Man, that's all for show. Harden got his back. Man,
it wasn't just Harden. There was five guys with Trevor. Exactly. That's a good thing.
How is it for show?
Just like he claimed blood and all the other foolishness, all it is for show. They know good and well. Security ain't never going to let you get to the locker room. Everybody know that. You want to whoop
them. Security let them get all the way in front of the door. Yeah, they just weren't going in.
Yeah, you can get in front of the door. It's the same. Just like Prince Fielder when he went in front of the door. End of the day, they never going to allow you to get in there.
That shows me that's just unity as a team.
That's all for show.
It doesn't show me anything when you're showing someone up on the floor. That should happen behind closed doors.
If you got beef with somebody.
You don't agree with me?
No, I agree. I agree partially. But at the same time, that don't show me no unity because you walk to the door and you threaten to walk in the locker room. You want to show me something.
You know why Travis? A year ago, if that same scenario goes down, there's a line drawn in the sand and there's more players than not that aren't getting near it because of all the other crap that was going on in that locker room. That's why that Dallas game, I think, meant more than you're looking into it at.
My whole thing is fake toughness, man. Like I said, you can't live soft and fight tough.
All right.
And them guys, they're a bunch of softies that swear they fighting tough all the time. But go ahead.
We got Clarence on hold real quick. Clarence, friend of the show. What's up, Clarence?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
All right, man. You?
I'm good. Well, I have to agree with Trav. You can't be talking tough, and when it's time to go down, you just backing up and going, hiding in the corner and sitting on the bench or something. And he's right. That was all for sure. If you have a problem with somebody, you take it out right now.
Do you know the dynamic of that situation?
So break down the dynamic of the situation.
No one knew what was told to Trevor Ariza. The only person that heard it was Trevor Ariza.
So it was told after the game. So what was told to Trevor Ariza?
He was talking about his mom or family.
He said something really, really bad. So he mentioned it after the game. Here's the thing.
One at a time. Hang on. Clarence, finish first.
I was going to say, it don't matter. If somebody said something to Trevor, and Trevor started barking back, and then the team started barking, it don't matter what was said. That's your boy. You've been hanging with him. Y'all going through battle sick and thin every night. You run over there and have his back.
Totally agree,
man. But Clarence, we appreciate this, but not just that. But somebody say something about my mama
or your daughter
or my daughter. Regardless, it ain't gonna be no waiting on no beef for no locker room. I'm gonna whoop his ass right now.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that the knowledge wasn't there for the rest of the team. I don't need
the rest of the team. I'm gonna whoop him now.
But that's your whole point is that the team needs to get his back.
But when I whoop him now and they ask what happened, I'm gonna say this man talked about my mama and my child. So that's that.
But Trap, look, team security wasn't gonna let him do anything on the floor. They had both of the Rockets security guys following him with every step. The Mavs guys got out there as well as the building guys. So he was ejected to try and prevent anything from going down. But then, to Nick's point, once they got to the locker room and it was expressed, he had a cavalry with him. He wasn't going into it by himself, as opposed to what I'm telling you. A year earlier, I dare say this, but I doubt he would have had much backup if he went down that hallway.
No. End of the day, if you wanted it to happen, it could have happened. I don't believe
that much money out of their pocket either.
It's the principle of it. When you make that kind of money, it becomes principle.
All right. Well, you let us know what you think. Harry, we see you calling. A lot of people are going the Kevin Garnett route with the fake tough thing. There are some people that want to chime in, and we want you to be a part of the show. So either hit us up on Twitter or call us or text us, 713-780-ESPN. Let us know what you think. We'll kick it around here, and we'll have plenty more show to go in just a few. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Trap till 4 with plenty of you knocking at the door, trying to get in the living room and talk a little bit about sports and a whole lot more. That's free-flowing, Travis. It's what it is. But if you ask others, it's scripted. It's scripted in the visions of my head. Nick, before we move on to Harry, who wants to get on this, I just want to make sure you are able to fully express your viewpoint on all of this.
Yeah, I did. I felt like I did. I feel like the Trevor Ariza situation, I still stand by my take. Nobody on that court knew what was said to Trevor Ariza. When they learned what was said to Trevor Ariza, they walked over to the visiting locker room and they got their teammates back like they were supposed to do. So, I mean, that's just my opinion.
Man, if Trevor Ariza was going to bust a grape, he should have bust a grape right now. If the rest of them was going to... Going to the locker room, you knew you wasn't going over there.
So what do you
there?
Want him to do? Punch him in the face right there on the
why
court?
Not?
Why? Because not? Why about potentially getting suspended?
He's not doing that.
Why about potentially getting suspended? What about potentially getting fined? Hurting your team?
It's the principle of it. You already going to get kicked out. It's the principle of it. I'm not going to let you sit there and talk about my mom and my child. I don't care where I'm at.
I'm sure a lot worse has been said on an NFL field.
No, we don't. That's what we don't play around with.
There's boundaries.
We don't play with mamas and kids.
Yeah, there's boundaries.
I doubt it.
We don't play with mama. Ain't nobody. You talk about my mama regardless.
Nick, are you old enough to remember
you catch your fade
when Vernon Maxwell went up in the stands in Portland?
Yes, I do remember that.
You know why?
I don't.
Because a reference was made to his stillborn child.
Yeah.
That's when all bets are off.
Yeah, well,
yeah. There's certain unwritten rules that you just don't break. Yeah.
We don't play with no kids and no mamas. Man, that's just, end of the day, we don't play with that type of stuff. You can talk all the stuff you want about me.
I actually respect the way Ariza responded. He has a calm demeanor. If you know anything about Trevor Ariza, he's not a guy that reacts, and he's not a very emotional dude.
Time out.
So
I'm gonna tell you this: Trevor Ariza has a boiling point, and when he
a boiling point,
but when that point is reached, and a lot of times because he's classy enough that he keeps it in the four walls of the locker room, but when he goes. He goes.
That's a
and
boiling
he backs
point.
It up.
How does that? But that doesn't make him emotional.
It just means it gets back to my point too. Of like when James is yelling at Sam and James is yelling at Ryan Anderson. Do it in those same four walls. Do it in the locker room. Don't do it with all the cameras on. Don't do it. You know where people like us can see it and talk about it. Don't do it to make the fan base concerned about it. You know, the same unity you showed when things are good, you need that unity when things are going not so good, no matter how we bill it as a tough stretch or whatever it is. All right, Barry, you want to get in here on all this. Barry, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows the NBA is full of fake tough guys anyway, so my question is, what makes a difference whether Pat Beverly, you know, gets into a push-off with Isaiah Thomas on the court or they go handle it outside of the court afterwards? Either way, nobody's throwing punches. It's not a real fight. Nothing legit's really happening anyway.
All right, Barry, so first and foremost, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to reference this Washington-Boston thing that's been going on. They had two separate incidents in two separate games, and in both incidences, even if it was between two guys, both teams had their guys back, and then it became a team issue. The thing is Pat shouldn't be left naked on the court, on the road, in a hostile environment, when a jawing match between him and Isaiah Thomas maybe gets too personal, when Isaiah Thomas already's got the cavalry lining up behind him. I'm just saying that on top of the other incidents with Decker and with Ryan Anderson made me start to scratch my head and go, I hope that there aren't a couple splinters now all of a sudden in the happy family, because it looks like now that they've hit a tough spot that things are starting to unravel a little bit. So I'm just saying those are signs to me. Because I agree. Look, Kevin Garnett's the biggest fake tough guy on the planet. Dwight Howard's right behind him. The greatest thing ever was when those two squared off and one of them had to try and not live up to their reputation. And Dwight was the guy that went after KG. But neither one of them at the end of the day, and to my point again, I think what Nick was saying, but the reason why Trevor Ariza is not going to go throw down on the court And Trevor, when he gets a boiling point like that, is fully capable of doing it because he's not taking that fine and suspension. And no one wants that much money, and no one wants to have that that black eye sitting around following him around. And he also probably thought about the black eye,
literally, or, I mean, ain't none of them punching like Kermit Washington punched your boy.
But Trav, that's what you're kind of, you're calling him out that he should go take care of business on the floor.
I'm just saying, you can't do that. Did Shaq and Barkley do it? Did Kobe and what's his name do it? Did
Kobe and who?
Your boy who got the wife who be stalking him?
Matt Barnes,
Doug Christie. Oh. You mean did Doug Christie and Rick Fox have it out? Man, you gonna take that fine. I'm saying I'm not backing down for over. You talk about my mom and my child, man. You kick rocks. Ain't no reason. The team. If you don't understand, bye. I find a new team. Bye, bye, Felicia.
Barry, what else?
That's all I got, man. I don't see the benefit of him. You know, starting drama out there
afterwards. The like, oh, let me sleep that, on the man. Beef.
I'm on the Pat Beverly thing though. Don't you think that his teammates should have been running? I mean, running around him a little bit to say, hey, yo. We're not letting our guy go butt naked into hostile territory. And if his guys are starting to line up around him, I would expect to see some red jerseys back in Pat.
Yeah, and that's not the first time the Rockets have missed something like that where someone gets knocked down and they don't see it or they don't, you know, react how I feel they should. But you can't deny that this team has way better chemistry than last year or any you know, the past previous years of Rockets teams. Like, they would have not even thought about doing anything. At least now you see them getting together.
That was my point too, Barry, because I said that and I was explaining to Trav in the break. It was so splintered in that locker room last year, and it wasn't down the middle, but everybody had enough of James and Dwight and Dwight and James and what team are you on and what side are you on and who do you like and if you like him, you can't like me and all the other crap that went with it, that you were never going to get a team that when it came down to getting a big shot or executing in a final play in a big game, that they were going to be on the same page. This team, to me, up until this little stretch, has made me a firm believer that it is a new day for the Houston Rockets, and they are all on the same page. But these are the signs that I'm bringing up to you guys to say, let's keep an eye on that because that concerns me.
Yeah, I mean, and if it continues, it's certainly a concern. I don't want people to think that, oh, I totally think that this is not a problem if it continues. But I just think it's a little premature to point out because this is the type of thing that's going to happen on a lot of teams. And it's just one play. It's not like it's happening every single game. That's
I just gave you three plays.
Over the course of how many games?
One game.
No, it was not just one game.
I gave you the Decker, I gave you the Ryan Anderson, and I gave you the end of the game with
Decker. The
Decker
wasn't a get-in-the-back situation. That's a different situation.
But it's still, what I'm saying is, it's showing you that they're not on the same page like they were. This is something that could be aired out in the locker room. This is something that could be done in private. But when you're airing all this stuff out, you're showing the frustrations that are out there to the whole world, and it's not a good look.
Well, we'll see how they turn out going on. If they continue to be on like what was it? They lose six of their last eight games. If they continue to lose like this, then yeah, the Rockets may be crumbling. But
until then, there's a big difference for me pointing these things out and telling you they're crumbling. I'm saying there's a reason to watch it and be a little concerned. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Fair Barry, enough. We appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. Trap, what do you got on that?
I already told you, I gave y'all my entire feelings. Yeah, I do. I think they have better chemistry this year than they did last year. But it's still certain things that has to get done. And you can't sit there and tell me, yeah, we together. Yeah, we doing this. Yeah, we doing that. But you don't show it on a daily basis.
Well, I'm telling you right now, too, a lot of things are coming back to James Harden. As good as he's been all season long, you're starting to see a lot of lapses on defense, and guys are starting to say, we're taking it, and we're getting screamed at because not doing it on D. You got to give me the same ferocity or at least partial ferocity on defense that you are on offense because it's not helping the team either.
Give me the same. You're a pro. Give me the same effort on both ends of the court. If you're going to be a pro, be a pro. That's part of being a pro is growing up and saying, I got to play offense, I got to play defense. If you don't want to play either, it's going to take a coach to say, you know what? Sit your behind down because I'm not going. If you can't play on both ends of the floor, then
they
can't use
with Gordon
you.
Out. That's my point too. With Gordon out, they couldn't afford to sit him down because they need the offense from him. Yeah, so it's a catch 22 right now.
But like, what did you say going out the door? If you give me 40, but you give up 30, guess what you gave him? You gave me 10.
That's right.
So end of the day, I can't win with you. Don't want you on my team. Don't want to play with you. Can't win with you. Don't want you.
And then there's that. So we can talk about that and a whole lot more. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a phenomenal program. You hear me talk about it all the time because I believe in it, because I believe that it gets results, and I've seen them, and you should too. And it all starts with you. If you're sitting around the house and you got a car, a boat, a trailer, a motorcycle, anything, RV, and it's not working anymore, or it is working and it's an eyesore and you want to get rid of it, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call 713-225-4226 or get online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. They'll do the rest. They do the paperwork. They come to you with a tow truck. They take it away for you. And best thing of all for you, you get a tax deduction. And so basically for what you were going to sell it for, if you thought you could sell it or you were going to sell it, you'll get in a deduction and they do all the work for you so you don't have to haul it off or pay someone to do that and do all the paperwork and do all the processing. Everything's taken care of. And the best part about it is, aside from the tax deduction, you feel great going forward because you made a difference in a child's life that's trying to get a second chance to get an education. That's right. Kids in your own community in Houston, Texas, who didn't do the right thing the first time with their chance to get an education, are now getting a second chance. And it's all funded by the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. That means they take that vehicle, they turn it around, and they provide resources that could be eyeglasses, books, book money, hot meals, bus passes, all the resources that kids need so that they can succeed at school and eventually at life. And it's all because of you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you're getting a $50 gift card. But more importantly than anything else, you're making a difference in a child's life, and you're getting a tax deduction for making a great donation that can help kids succeed in your town, in Houston, Texas. Again, 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Please, right off the car, not the kid.
But it's going to be all right. Yeah. Because me and my clique, we don't give a fuck.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Travis till 4 o'clock. Again, it's only sports, so it's a discussion, not an argument. And we like to have them, and they get spirited, because you know why? We're passionate. We're passionate people, and we have a take, and we like to stick to it. So, with that being said, we love you being a participant in the show, and you guys have been great about it already. Nick, I know with Barry out, I normally rely on you to check text messages. I haven't really checked today, but if you get a chance, absolutely, give it a gander, just because of the fact that I haven't done it. And also, I want to give a shout-out to one of our loyal listeners traveling all the way to New Orleans, but taking the app with him, Joseph Patrizzi. Joe, we appreciate you. We hear you out there, and we appreciate you showing love to the show. So,
oh, yeah, man. We got a lot of people listening. My sister's listening in Boston.
I got a lot of people from Wisconsin, California, New York, yeah. So it's good. We're building it. And, again, if you have problems with the actual radio tune-in part of it, just download the app. Go to the website, ESPN975.com. If you're at the office, just listen live there. But if you want the app so you can take us anywhere, just download the app to your phone. And whether you're in another state or, you know, somewhere where the reception isn't as good, just hit it up on your phone, run the Bluetooth through your car, you're all good to go. I mean, right, Nick? When you get a car that has Bluetooth in it, you'll be able to do that too, right?
I got Bluetooth in my ride.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. How else can I drive that crazy down?
Well, there's no
chimney
doubt
rock
about it. Yeah, when you got a
Bluetooth
cop next to you and you still want to cut over three lanes to try and get where you need to go, that
you saw
shouldn't
that
be
yesterday?
Going to the first. Yes, I did.
Well, he was trying to get out of the traffic.
I'm
himself
a mile and a half behind you, but how can I miss the guy that's doing S curves in a slalom like a downhill skier trying to get through eight lanes of traffic in 50 yards?
Three lanes of traffic, but it was.
I exaggerate because that's what you do when you tell a story.
Well, yeah, I mean, the good thing is I was a little concerned because I remember texting you. I'm like, man, there's a cop right there. I don't think I'm going to be able to get on the highway without making this, you know, this illegal lane change. But he was illegally changing lanes too, so it worked out perfect.
I mean, the bottom line is, Travis, seriously, on a daily basis, especially the other day, I expect to get on the on-ramp to head home one day and just see the cherries on a car and Nick sitting there with his head on the steering wheel. Like, why me? But it should have happened months ago.
Oh, he's a crazy driver like
oh,
that?
Oh, man, is he. And here's the thing. The front end of his car has a huge dent on it. Most people see that in their rear view, and they're like, this dude ain't even going to, I ain't even messing with it. He's going to come in, so I'm going to let
it. It's a tiny vehicle. I don't know why they would be scared.
Why? What kind of car you drive, Nick?
A little Toyota, Highlander. RAV4.
He drives a RAV4 like a Mack truck with turbochargers. He's coming in whether you like it or not. I'm just letting you know. I can't do that like him. I don't like to diss people like that. But he's coming in from the far right lane with like 18 cars in the first two lanes trying to get on the on-ramp. He's coming from the far right. He's blazing through a yellow just to get across the intersection. And then within a 50-yard span between the light and the start of the on-ramp, he's getting over four lanes of traffic and he's coming in.
He drives like I do. I mean, I drive like that.
I'm pretty sure when they see you, they're not going to think twice about it.
But I drive like that because I'm from California. That's the only reason. I mean, that's the main.
My wife does that too. Yeah, I mean, right,
you
can't.
You why? Can't drive L.A. or where?
Yeah, you can't drive. You can't L.A. You can't drive on a 405 and a 101 without being aggressive. Like you can you if you're not an aggressive driver, you won't survive out there. like I remember when I got my license switched over. And the lady was like, she saw my address and she was from there. And she's like, oh, where'd you do your driver's test at? I said, oh, I was in San Fernando Valley. She was like, dude, that might be one of the hardest places to get a driver's license ever. Like, I got a perfect score on my driving test. Like, you got to know how to drive.
What do you want me to do? Give
me a cookie. Give me a cookie.
You want the gold star? No, give me a cookie. Man, I'm trying to manage your health concerns right now. So I instead of the cookie, I'm going to give you a gold star.
Okay.
But I'm going to make sure it has adhesive to it. But I would expect next week on Radio Row that you wear it like a badge of courage.
Am I going to be on Radio Row next week?
As far as I know.
I think, a couple of days? Okay.
Okay.
We got a text that said I-5 ain't no joke. I don't.
I
don't know where I-5 is.
I-5 is hard, but I-5 ain't. Let's put it this way. When they shut down lanes on the 405 to do construction, they call it Carmageddon. That's what it was called, because the traffic was that bad. We had people leaving. It had people leaving home 2 hours before they normally leave home, just so they wouldn't be late for work going into the city.
I mean, I've experienced it only once because I've only been to LA once, and I made the decision. This is like 5 or 6 years ago. I made the decision to land in LA at LAX Friday at like 3:30.
Oh yeah, no, you're tripping.
And then I had to make a trip out to Valencia, and it drove. And I'm thinking, yeah, all right, I'm going to be stuck. Oh, I'm going to be stuck in traffic like Houston, 45 minutes.
Oh, no. It took you 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. I was livid, dude, because I had no idea. Yeah. Everybody was looking at me.
What you going to Valencia for?
I went to Valencia for an MMA seminar.
Oranges.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have been going out there to go to go to Six Flags.
I wanted to.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the traffic out there. I'm telling you, I used to leave home every morning. I used to leave home to go to school every morning at 6:05.
What time was first bell?
First bell was at 7:30-ish, 7:45-ish. But I literally tell my baby sister, if 6:10 hits and you're not in the car, I'm leaving. Because if I don't leave by 6:10, it's going to take me an hour longer to get to school than it would. It would normally take me about 30 minutes because I live about 30 miles from school. So it'll take me about 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes, depending on the weather and depending on how I'm driving. But
I mean, we said it here. When we moved out to the burbs from Midtown, bottom line is if you aren't rolling at a decent speed by 4:30, you just set yourself back an hour because you ain't getting there anytime soon in Houston. And they don't know left lane, fast lane, and they don't know some of the things that they know on larger freeway systems like Chicago, like LA. So, hey, there's that. By the way, if you ever feel like you're angry in a situation, don't punch a folding chair, especially when you're counted on to use that limb and the other limb to try and score baskets for a living. We'll cover that when we come back. That is a bit of a fiasco going on right now that happened last night in that game that probably no one was watching on TNT. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my man Mac and Gallery Furniture. It's the best place in Houston to get furniture. And I'm telling you this because of the fact that I know from experience. My entire house is basically furnished from Gallery Furniture. Why? Because it's all solid wood. It's American made. It's fantastic deals. And it's service after the sale. Mac has never steered me wrong. He's taken care of Travis as well. And the best thing about the whole process is, after the fact, if something goes wrong or you need some kind of help or assistance or repair, you just call them up and they take care of it for you because they know that your business matters and they want you to come back again and again. Whether it's a Macapedic mattress starting at $19.99 and going up from there, you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card right off the top. American-made solid wood furniture on your living room sets, your dining room sets, and even 2-for-1 recliners right now going on at Gallery Furniture. You can enhance your home with solid wood dining room table and chairs and or a great living room set. Maybe it's a leather sofa and or sectional. They are fantastic, and Mac has so many to choose from. And the best part of all of it is you buy today, you get it tonight, because that's what Mac promises you at Gallery Furniture. There's no back order slips, and there's plenty of stores and showrooms to choose from, whether you're on Grand Parkway between Sugar Land and Katy, or you're downtown in the Galleria area on Westheimer right by Post Oak, or the mainstay location, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. No back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. Why? Because it's Gallery Furniture, where they really will save you money.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Trapp and Nick, till 4 o'clock, we continue to motor on down the road. Much like the 405, Travis.
Much like it.
So with that being said, Hector wanted to call in. I guess you struck a nerve. Hector wants to talk about the 405. Hector, what's up?
What's up, man? Big 818.
818. I'm an 818 or two, homes.
Yeah, I went to Silmar.
Okay. What years were you at Silmar?
Excuse me?
What years were you at Silmar?
From 01 to 2005.
Okay, so you wasn't there with George Reister.
Yeah, yep, yep. And I also knew Brandon Browner.
Yeah, Brandon Browner, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Mama.
Okay, yeah. I'm Sherman Oaks, Notre Dame, 818er.
Yeah, you know, it went it all day. Yeah, but I can confirm about that 405. I was around that time when they did that Carmageddon, and I think they closed it down for the whole weekend. You couldn't drive around the 405.
Yeah, man, it was crazy.
That's only because they were shooting the precursor to La La Land. That's why they shut it down.
That's all right. Well, you live out this way now, Hector?
Yeah, I live in Humble.
Okay,
but I go back to Cali like every year. I mean, that's my home over there. I still root for the Dodgers, still root for the Lakers, I still root for all the Cali teams.
Okay, yeah, man. Silmar, man. Y'all got some good streets over there, man. The great Pac Town in Silmar, man. Pacoima Pie Rules. Yeah, I see you.
If you guys know the words to Kumbaya, we'll put you on hold. You guys can keep talking, but we appreciate that because we know that there's a lot of love from Cali. My wife's from Cali. Nick, how you mama and them? Okay, good.
What?
All right, so just checking in to see if we can all good. Get the How convo going,
they
Nick.
Good. How about yours? Yeah.
Yeah, all good. Okay. So, Hector, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. Appreciate the traffic update because we get news, weather, and traffic together every single day right here on ESPN 97.5. With that being said, I mentioned this before the break.
That was another good one. News, weather, and traffic together.
Thank you. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I was watching the game last night, and they finally went back and showed it. But Enes Kanter was none too pleased with a sequence in the game last night. And he is a huge part of what OKC is trying to do to hang on and stay relevant in the West. He's their offensive center to go with Steven Adams. And he came over during a timeout. Let's just say, in terms of what he does and does well as opposed to not so well, basketball good, punching furniture not so good. He came out during a timeout. He went and took a wind-up swing to try and punch the folding chair on the bench and somehow caught the top part of the chair before he hit the padded seat of the chair. Then he got up and started rubbing his forearm. Didn't go back in the game. The report comes out now. You're out 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured forearm.
Look at that, Nick. If he'd hit somebody in the jaw, it wouldn't have broke his forearm.
Well, look, and this is the second time I believe he's done something like this, right?
I don't know, but here's the thing. His hand. This is how much, this is what it, when it comes down to that, like everybody knows he got overpaid a couple years ago too. But what really will be interesting is if OKC tries to privately either not pay him for the time he missed because that's like you violated your contract by doing something
stupid.
They got
a good argument, right?
Yeah. Or because they like him enough that they're just going to let it go and try and sweep it under the rug. But there's a guy that's a huge piece for them that they're going to be missing for a while. Yes, they have a Nick Collison, but Nick Collison's way on the downside. I just think this one could sting more than people realize, and it could hurt Westbrook in essence, too, when he's trying to get all his stats. And a lot of the times when Westbrook's getting a lot of assists, he's kicking the ball to Enes Kanter. So this could have a trickle-down effect that definitely helps James Harden with the Houston Rockets.
Does it any chance improve Westbrook's performance?
I don't think so, because now he's going to be trying to make the same plays to a guy that's not as efficient and or have the weaponry in his repertoire that Kanter has on the offensive end. So I think that, you know, a lot of times what you see and where he struggles a lot is when he makes pocket passes to a guy like Steven Adams. Perfect pass, but Adams may fumble it, kick it, you know, can't get it from waistline to rim side and cost him assists. This is not going to do well for him when Cantor comes in the game. He was actually a reliable guy that Westbrook could kick it down to and pick up a dime while Cantor got you two, and now he's out almost 2 months. That's going to hurt. The only thing he's got that he has some solace is the fact that All-Star break will give him a extra time without games, but not a good situation in OKC. Travis, before we know that the Travis Johnson World Tour gets underway, and everybody wants you, a Billy Squier tune I'm sure you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at and are you excited about everything coming with the Super Bowl? We don't have to get down to the brass tacks of it yet, but are you already expecting that we got the right matchup, that that the hype and circumstance around the game will not be a letdown once the game begins?
I think the best two teams are playing right now. I think the hype, I think for people trying to sell things, as far as, you know, when you talk about the hotels and stuff, I think that they might be the only ones that probably not as pleased. Not, I wouldn't say the hotels, because Atlanta's traveling very well. Yeah, because it's only, I mean, it's an 8 hour, no, it's a 10 hour drive. You know, it's a 10 hour drive. So they're going to travel very well here.
Okay.
I think the biggest issue is, I think the ticket resales probably, you know, from just a little bit of experience, I think the ticket resales probably aren't what people expected them to be, because I think really, I mean, and true, you're going to have one of the, we're going to have the all-time great or one of the all-time greats against this year's probably MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I think they wanted to see that bad man. They want to see 12 versus 12. That's what they were looking forward to, 12 versus 12. And that would have been the game that would have sold tickets in the upper deck for 7,000 resale. You know what I mean? That type of stuff. So I think that's probably the only thing that's hurting. I think, you know, as far as the city-wise, I'm looking forward to it. I kind of wish Dallas was here, just because, you know, for the simple fact is they would have had a lot of people. It would have brung a lot of people and a lot of money to the city, even more than regular. That's one of the reasons I kind of wish Dallas was in this position. But as far as the clubs and the parties, everything, it should be real nice, man. It should be.
I think from the standpoint of the city being ready for something they've learned from the first time, because this city is primed up. The weather's supposed to be perfect.
Yeah.
The streets look very, very nice and clean.
Clean? Let me.
Well, I'll tell you what. They did that street coming out of Hobby.
That's what I. Hey, I'm
oh,
just.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, so check this out. So I'm going to the airport the other day, Nick, right? I'm going to airport Tuesday. And I'm riding. So we make a wrong turn. Well, not make a wrong turn. I was supposed to go to Fort Walton Beach, and then my flight, I had an emergency, so now I got to go to Dallas instead. So we, instead of turning around, we just say, you know what, stay on, get on 405, get off on Broadway, and then bang that right on.
405?
I mean, not 405, the 45.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he got me thinking about the 405. Yeah. So get off on that first exit, make that, bang that right on Broadway or Park Place, whatever is the.
Broadway, I think it is.
Yeah, Broadway. And I'm riding down Broadway for like 5 minutes, I'm just looking, but I'm not paying attention. And I'm like, when did they clean up all this stuff?
The median and the flowers and the brick and the stone. It's unreal.
I'm like, and when did they fix this raggedy street that's been raggedy up until a month ago?
Yeah.
Like,
they did some work.
Like,
now,
what is going on?
Yeah.
It's like Donald Trump kidnapped a bunch of Hispanic dudes out of Arizona, brought them here to Houston, and they fixed the street up in a day and a half. I'm sitting there like, dude, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy, because I was here a month ago and the streets were terrible. I mean, you dang near feel like you on hydraulics when you run down that street. And now all of a sudden the streets was clean. The stone looked like everything was pressure washed all the way down the street. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, it looks way better.
It looks way better, but how you feel if you in the hood, because over there's like Little Mexico anyway. But over there, you sit there when them guys leave and they let your neighborhood go to waste all over again, then what you feel like?
Feel like, hey, the Super Bowl was just here.
I guess I would feel a similar way about it.
Oh, you fix it up and now all of a sudden they're gone. You ain't gonna keep it clean for us? Like, man, please, man. You bet, man, this is H-Town, man. Everybody know there's two things that's always gonna be in the hood. The airport and the dang stadium. So if it ain't all the way clean around there like that, we understand just a little bit. But you can't just clean up the hood and then all of a sudden think when you gone, like, man, we're going to let the hood get dirty again. Don't worry about it. The streets going to be garbage in the next 3 weeks. It's going to be back to where it used to be. Where, I mean, you couldn't even try to drink a glass of water down Broadway a month ago without feeling like Muhammad Ali. Interesting
point. We were talking about quotes yesterday. That might be on the bulletin board of quotes to live by. What? The hood is always near a stadium.
An airport.
And an airport.
So you true. Know
wow. I didn't think about it until he said that. So and then I started thinking about it. I'm cities. Like, man.
In every city.
That's pretty damn accurate.
Probably every city.
Except for Green Bay, where y'all stayed in the middle of a neighborhood. I mean, in the middle of a pretty decent neighborhood, but it's not the
Is
the,
it really?
I mean, their oh neighborhood, the Green
you know
Bay
what,
neighborhood
you know what
is
Green
nice.
Bay is? Green Bay is if you took a phenomenal stadium and dropped it in the Heights.
Or you drop
those
you
little
drop,
houses and those little streets and things like that. Absolutely,
you drop in the Heights. Or you know what? Even better example for some people who might not have driven through the Heights. You drop it in the middle of Quail Valley. So where Quail Valley is in Missouri City.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know where you're at.
So if you go to Quail Valley, imagine dropping the stadium off in the middle on the golf course on like hole four, a random hole, and just say you driving through those streets and all of a sudden you're like, oh shoot, here go the stadium.
And you can see it from the highway and everything like that. And they're now starting to renovate it and put a lot of business and things around it. But no, I mean, honestly, you come off the highway and there's a Dick's and then you hit Lombardi Avenue and you're driving right to, it's like the house on the hill. You can see it from a mile away. And it's like everything around it where these just little one story houses, people let you park in their front lawn for $5. It's nuts. It really is.
Yeah, that is different because you probably couldn't get away with just dropping a stadium in the middle of a neighborhood down here.
No,
in Houston.
But you know the problem is the reason why they put them in all of the hoods is because the land is cheaper. So when they build it, they put it smack dab in the middle
makes
of the
sense.
Hood.
Yeah,
but
makes
you
sense.
Can't afford to lose the population if you tried that anywhere else where you just drop a stadium down from above.
Exactly,
you're going to crush houses and people.
Yeah, it would be almost
just
like
thinking about it.
But
from
it's just like when they put together. It's like when they did Chavez Ravine for the Dodger Stadium. They cleared all the Mexicans out of there. Crazy.
Here we go.
I'm telling
welcome
you what
to Immigration 101 as well as the 97.5 ESPN radio outlet. We have two in the books. We have one to go. We have plenty more show. So if you'd like to join us, please do, because we may need the help at this point. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.